This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and I'm joined today by Terry Acey in his capacity as Planning Director. Hello, Terry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And I should, in full disclosure, before we get into talking about Airbnbs, just confess that I was formerly Chair of Planning and Zoning for the city up until September last year, and I was also involved and instrumental in these regulations for Airbnb. So I do want to just put that out to listeners and make that absolutely clear. So I know some of the answers of some of the questions that we're going to talk about, but you had some things that you wanted to bring up about Airbnbs.
Yeah, I just wanted to get out to everybody that we did, back when you were chair, we did come up with a new ordinance for Airbnbs, basically stating what zones you can do them and can't do them in.
We're talking about the city here,
only the city. This doesn't apply to county. There's no regulations on that in the county. So if you're within the city limits of Buffalo, basically we passed an ordinance of June of 2022, that said you can't do Airbnbs in an R1 zone, which is residential. It's low-density residential, so a lot of the city is R1 zone, but there is a catch to that. If you're in R1 zone and you're on Main Street, Fort Street, or East Hart Street, you could apply for a special use permit that would allow you to then apply for the application for to do the short-term rentals in. So the way that also reads is basically anything in R2, R3 zone, you must first come to the Planning Commission, get the special use permit for those zones also, but they are eligible to get the special use permit. So first go through that, get the special use permit, and then after they approve the special use, then you apply for the license. It's basically a short-term rental license, and it's what we're issuing now, almost compared to like a contractor's license or something. It's a $100 fee per year, per unit. Basic per building, I should say, location, property location. We just want you to register us. We want to know where it's at. You know, the generals, how many people can stay there, you know, all that kind of stuff. Who do we contact if there's an emergency, that kind of stuff. So, you know, and we came about that. What we were seeing was a trend in a lot of cities in Wyoming is everything's becoming short-term.
I'm very happy that you talk about some of the history behind this, because you and I were both part of a working subcommittee from the Planning and Zoning Commission, which included some existing Airbnb owners, a representative, John Camino, from City Council, Planning and Zoning representatives, yourself as Planning Director. And we did a pretty comprehensive look at the experience in other communities, especially Wyoming communities, about Airbnbs.
Yeah, that's correct. We didn't just sit down and throw this out. We had meetings about this. We talked to some of the other cities in Wyoming, what they were experiencing, what they were doing for Airbnbs, and then kind of went from there of lay out what we were going to do. And like I said, it was becoming, we noticed from a lot of cities, they're saying, well, there's nowhere to rent. There's nowhere for people that live in the town to rent anymore, because everybody's short-term and nobody's long-term anymore.
So we talk about them as Airbnbs because I think that's what a lot of people know. They are sometimes they refer to as VRBOs, but the correct term for them is short-term rentals, STRs, short-term rentals. And what we discovered was that they change the integrity of a neighborhood quite significantly, don't they? I mean, you know, if you have a nice little neighborhood that was just a regular residential community neighborhood made up of all sorts of different types of people living in the community, if you turn those into sort of overnight accommodations, that then what was your neighborhood no longer feels like your neighborhood. And there are issues to do with security and safety with that, nuisance, because sometimes people who are visiting are not respectful. And one of the things that I remember clearly that we found out from other Wyoming communities is that they're actually trying to limit the number of Airbnbs or short-term rentals that they had previously allowed because of what it was doing to those communities. And people had bought, in good faith, they'd bought a home that they thought was going to be part of a community, and then they're the only home, you know, on the block.
Right.
That has actually people living in it consistently.
Yeah, it becomes more transient than, you know, a neighborhood with locals there all the time and having a neighbor. And we were getting that feeling from a lot of people in these R1 neighborhoods. They didn't know who their neighbors were or didn't feel like it was a community or neighborhood, you know, type setting anymore. So, you know, that's another reason we looked at all this.
And in Buffalo, of course, there are some communities, there are some neighborhoods that have homeowners associations, and they already have an overriding regulation about, you know, being able to use your home for short-term rental and so on. But that's by far no means all the homes in Buffalo. And so what we decided was that we would try a trial period for 3 years or so just to look at regulating Airbnbs to those main corridors, those main sort of thoroughfares in and out of town. And anybody who had a property on Fort Street, Main Street, or Hart Street with an address actually kind of ascribed to any one of those streets would be able to apply. We have a different regulation for the downtown area, obviously, for the business area and so on. But those were the streets that basically you could apply for a permit to run an Airbnb out of it, and everywhere else will not be awarded a permit. And I think that's really what we've been talking about here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically saying, hey, if you're in the R1 zone, it's not going to be allowed. It's not. Mm-hmm. We're not even going to look at it, basically. Like with the exception of, like you said, the Hart Street, Fort Street, Main Street, we will entertain it. We'll look at those case by case. Planning and zoning will look at those case by case and then determine whether or not to approve a special use for those addresses. Otherwise, anywhere else in town in the R1, it's basically we're just saying it's a no.
So your message is, if you have a property on any one of those streets, and to repeat, that's Fort, Main, or Hart, or East Hart Street, and you want to use it as an Airbnb, somebody just needs to come in and visit with you and fill out some paperwork and apply for the permit. How much is the permit?
Yeah, so the permit is a first we got to do the special use. That's where they have to come and apply for a special use, and that's when they'll go in front of planning and zoning and, you know, try to get their approval for that to be able to do that. That's a $400 application fee out of the gate to go ahead and do that. And then if planning and zoning approves you, then you get the license. You come in and you just fill out basically the application for the license. That's another $100 a year fee after that. So annually you'll pay a $100 fee, and every year we'll send you a renewal form and you'll send it back with any changes to contacts or anything on there. But the first step is, and this isn't R1, R2, or R3, you need to come in and do the special use permit ahead of time.
And it sounds like a lot of steps, but it's really to protect our city, and you can make that money back in your...
On
your property. I know of several very lively and well-used Airbnbs, within the area that, you know, do extremely well. So it shouldn't be prohibitive, although it's unfortunate that it's so many steps.
Right, it is, but they're not, I mean, like I said, it's not a big to-do. It's some simple applications, one meeting in front of planning and zoning, and with the way we set it up, it's kind of set to where it's not going to be a hard determination to make, really, for planning and zoning. It's, like I said, if you're in the R1 anywhere else with those three streets, it's pretty much a no, and so then we're down to a very select number of housings in R1 and R2 and R3 that are qualified for it. So,
what do you think somebody should do if they become aware that somewhere on their street out of those areas, somebody is, you know, a neighbor of theirs maybe going away all winter, but maybe using their place as an Airbnb, or, you know, maybe they're going away for a month in the summer or on a regular basis, and, you know, what should they do?
So yeah, if you know anybody that's doing it, I just encourage, if you know, and you're listening, just say, hey, I heard you got to have that license now, and you know, encourage them to reach out to the city, and we can get that process started. If you're not friends with your neighbors, I guess go ahead and give me a call, and we'll try to figure that out. Eventually, what's going to happen here is if I don't get people responding to this or to any of the other things, then I'm going to have to go ahead and, you know, go through the sites, the RVBOs, what is it called, the VRBOs, and yeah, the Airbnb sites, and basically go through the listings and see where they're at, which,
right,
you know, is what I'm going to have to do eventually if people don't just start coming forward with that. But, yeah, if you know of somebody that's doing it, just mention, hey, you know, I've had a couple come in so far, so that's good. We got to start on it, but there are a lot more out there. And you know, when we first started the process of looking into this, short-term rentals, that we did kind of look at how many there was. And so I have a feeling, you know, I know most of them, and I know there's quite a few out there. So, but there is, you know, a fine that can be, I can fine you up to $750 a day.
Ouch.
Right. For not having your license with the city, you know, where the license is $100. So it's, you know, a drop in the bucket compared to a daily fine for doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. So I just encourage everyone, you know, and I don't want to do that, and I don't want to go that far. So just encourage people to come in, and we'll talk about it and see where you're at and where your property is, and we'll get it figured out.
Sure. And I, you know, I should reiterate that this was a trial period of around 3 years, and we'll see how, you know, the city will review how it goes and whether, you know, it's a good regulation or not. So it's always difficult, and I remember tussling with this a lot, was, you know, at what point can somebody be completely free to do whatever they want with their own property, and at what point does that spill over into having an impact, an undue impact on neighbors or neighborhoods. And that was the tussle, and it was a lively process, if I remember rightly. And you know, we also had a lot of consultation with city council as well, so it was not a decision that came too easily. But thank you, Terry. Is there anything else? I'll make sure that your number and any appropriate links are put next to this post.
Yeah, that'd be great. You can get on the city website now, citybuffalowi.com, and that application form is right there on the website. So it's just under the building department, I believe. You'll find building permits, contractor licenses, and then there is a short-term rental license application there. So you click on that, and it'll take you to a portal, and you can just start the whole process there, and right from home, and or on your phone. And okay. So it's pretty easy to do. And then from there, I'll just email you back with correspondence, and we'll get it figured out.
Thank you. Well, Terry Acey, Planning Director of the City of Buffalo, thank you for getting in touch and reminding us that we need to be reminded of this regulation for short-term rentals in the City of Buffalo.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome.